I originally had something else prepared, and I felt the Lord speak something different to my heart last night, so I'm going to go with that. Because he's allowed to change things up, as he regularly does. You can turn to Psalm 27, Proverbs 27. And this is what I want to share with you guys. You know, I don't want this, it's not my heart to just like share a sermon with you, but just to really encourage y'all, encourage you in things that matter, if you will. Like yesterday we talked about setting ourselves to finish. Today I want to just talk about something. These are, you know, setting yourself to finish. And what I want to talk about today is hunger. Hunger for the Lord. And while I'm not trying to by any means take a break from the sharing of the cross, these are important principles that go with it. You know, hunger for what? Christ and Him crucified. You know what I mean? It's there, okay? this is not something that's separate. But hunger for the Lord is what my focus is going to be. I randomly watched this. It was a guy's testimonial, and it was shot in the 80s. And I don't know if that means he was in his 50s or early 60s, somewhere in there. But he was talking about how he'd lived through the Great Depression in America. And he said basically that meant everyone was dirt poor for 10 years, you know. And nobody had any money. And he said, you know, I was a teenager at that time, and I ran away from home with $7. And he said that it took me exactly 7 days to run out of money, you know, because you could eat for a dollar a day, you know, back then. And he said, I quickly became a beggar, right? He says, you don't think you'd become a beggar, but you're very close to becoming a beggar, actually. You're not far. He says, hunger will do that to you. Hunger makes you a beggar. It doesn't matter how much pride you have or how highly you think of yourself. You know, you're not far from being a beggar. And he talked about what it was like having to beg for food. You know, and that's not my point. But his main point initially was hunger will make you do things you wouldn't normally do. Hunger will make you step out of the norm of life. Hunger will make you not care what other people think of you. Right? I mean, that's what happened to him. You know what I mean? He's like, I just want to eat, you know. I just need food, and I need it now. And hunger for the Lord has that same effect. It bears with it the effect that you just, there's certain things. I guess a better way to say it is it properly prioritizes your life. Hunger for the Lord will. And it's probably the main thing that does, honestly. If you're not hungry for the Lord, you're not going to prioritize things correctly. You're going to put greater value on things that should have lesser value. You know, you're going to put a higher, emphasis on certain things that in an intense hunger for the Lord wouldn't get much attention at all. It's going to affect how you spend your time, practically, very practically. I mean, this touches the practical in every way, hunger for the Lord. And I know I'm talking to a room of people that I assume, and from what I can see and gather, are hungry for the Lord, you know. but hunger is something that has to be maintained. You know, just because you're hungry today, you know, and I think you guys know that, and certainly those, you know, who have been on in the Lord many more years know that. And I'm not speaking from a place of like, listen, I'm 38 years old now. And I've been doing this since I was 19, and I've been hungry every single day of my life for the Lord. That's only Randy and Debbie. They're the only ones who've ever achieved that. No. No, I'm not speaking to you from that place because it'd be a big lie. Right? No, you know, I've certainly gone through seasons where, you know, I couldn't look back and be like, and this is why the hunger left, you know, but it did. And, you know, there are dry times and there are times where the Spirit of the Lord is on you more. But there is a part that we have in maintaining that hunger. You know, there absolutely is. And I think sometimes we confuse dry times with you just haven't been eating, so your appetite shrunk. You know what I mean? It's not actually a dry time. It's just you've been feeding on something else, and so your soul is used to feeding on that. Your spirit's starving to death, but you're more in tune with your soul, so you don't really feel it in the spirit. You know what I mean? It's not a dry time. It's an off time and need to, you know, fast from something else and feed your spirit and get your appetite back up. So, again, I'm not trying to stand above you here in this at all, but just as a brother in the Lord who knows that the struggle can be real sometimes. But, I know just personally, I mean, just on a personal level, I'm the happiest and most fulfilled experiencing the joy of the Lord when I'm hungry for the Lord. And I, you know, when I'm not in that place of hunger and going after the Lord, I'm typically more miserable and have a harder time dealing with things and, you know, just generally a less happy person. You know, there's just a simple, basic, personal, positive effect on you because you were made for Him. You know, it's just as simple as that. You're made for Him. You're made for this fellowship. You know, we've been gathered into the fellowship of the Son. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's what our being is designed to feed on. You know, it's not by, it's by absolute intentional design that we get hungry multiple times a day. It's a shadow. You know, that our body tells us, you need food now, you need to eat, you know, I'm hungry, it's time to eat. I mean, Scott, you know, in the spirit of Christ, you know, his ministry here is providing food for us. You know what I mean? I love that. there's so much of the Lord in him doing that. But, you know, it's because our bodies need to eat. We need it daily. You mean, you understand that we need it daily. You know how we would be just like famished. There'd be no walks. You know, we'd see where we're really at in the Lord if we didn't eat here for a week. You know what I mean? We'd be in our rooms like, God, he's just snoring all night. I can't get any sleep. You know, I'm going to tell Kelly to pray for me because I'm having a breakdown. You know, it's called being hangry. Sometimes I get like that with Cassie. She's just like, what's your problem? Like, I don't know, I'm hungry. Nothing's happening. I need some cookies. Give me some cookies and I'll be okay. And the kids are like, hey, Dad's got cookies. I'm like, shut up, I'm the dad. Dad gets cookies, okay? Whenever I want. No, that doesn't happen. I just go in the pantry and close the door and eat cookies. And now they know and they come and they look. They're like, hey, Dad's in there eating cookies. No, I'm not. Sorry, God. I lied to him. Yeah, I'm making all that up. Hunger. Hunger for the Lord, you know. You will do stuff like that, being hungry for the Lord. I remember in Bible school, one of my jobs for a year there, I worked at Taco Bueno. And I was the only Christian there in that place, by a long shot. And I had a little pocket Bible, you know. And I'm glad I had a pocket Bible and not a phone, because it was obvious that I was reading the Bible, you know. People, you just have your phone out, nobody assumes you're reading the Bible anymore. You know what I mean? That's never, you'd have to be like, look, I'm reading the Bible. And they'd probably be like, you're right. Sure you are. Yep. You know. But I had a pocket Bible, and whenever there was, you know, a few minutes, man, I'd pull that thing out and read it. Because I was hungry, you know what I mean? And I didn't do it to put anything on display before people. I honestly didn't. I mean, I really didn't think about, you know, I wasn't trying to witness to them by just reading my Bible, but it ended up being a big witness to them. You know, it was, half of them didn't speak English, so I couldn't even share the Lord with them if I wanted to. But it really was a witness to the Lord to them. Just the hunger. It's an unintentional thing. You know, but that job was not. Sometimes I remember one time. Sometimes the enemy would get like aggravated that I'd be reading the word there, particularly through some of the bosses that were there, and I'd be like standing there like reading my. I remember this one time, they were like, "So I'm just like, you know, it's like a slow time in the drive-thru," and I'm like, "Got my Bible out," and I just remember looking over, and they are doing this like highly. And now these are like people in like their early 60s, you know, not in shape, just not in good shape, not shapely in any way, doing just highly inappropriate dancing with each other. And I just remember looking over and just be like, "What is going on?" It was like surreal. And I remember I went in the bathroom and like just bound the enemy, and I came back out and they're both just standing there. It's just like standing there, just like no one was there yet. They're just like standing. Like, what happened? Just like, my God, the enemy's just throwing a fit, you know. But you'll find yourself making time when, in times when you're not hungry for the Lord, you tell yourself, "I just got no time." You know what I mean? It's like, "Oh, I had to work. I didn't have time." You'll find out how much time you actually do have. You know, to seek the Lord when you're hungry. Whereas when you're not hungry, it just feels like you got no time. You know, and I've been both sides. You know, again, I'm not speaking judgmentally, you know. And because, you know, I've said that to the Lord, like, "Lord, I just want time with you, but I just feel like I got no time." And he's just kind of like, "Hey, remember when back then you didn't have time?" You know what I mean? Or, "Well, last time you didn't have time, but you made it," you know. I believe that all people, this is my personal belief, make time for what's important for them, important to them. They make time for it. All of us do. I mean, just think about something that's important to you. That's like highly, I mean, like, not just like, well, you know, I don't know, whatever. But something that's really like on the top of the list important to you make time for it. You do. Look, think back through your whole life, even when you were a little kid. You make time for what's important for you. Will if seeking the Lord and heart, you know, if knowing Him is important to you, you will make time. You will. People won't have to tell you. You're not going to have to be like prodded from behind, like, "Come on, just get after the Lord." Because when you're hungry, that doesn't work. It didn't work for me. You know, people tried to do that to me, like when I was like not feeling it or whatever, and. Maybe it's just the way that I am. It's just like, just stop it. I remember one time when I was a teenager, Kelly came to visit, and you know, I wasn't after the Lord when I was a teenager. And she tried to get me to come to church. I remember her coming into my room, and she tried for like, felt like an hour, but it had to at least be a half hour. She's like, "Just come on." I'm just like, "No, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting out of bed." And it was just like. This, you know, she was much younger in the Lord. I don't think she would, you know. And it was just like you know, I don't remember saying this to her, but it was like, "The harder you try, the harder I'm going to get inside." You know, I mean, that's just how some people are. You know, I'm that way. But when you're hungry for the Lord, no one's got to come bedside and drag you out of bed to get after Him. You know what I mean? You're going to be there. You're going to do what it takes to get there. So Proverbs 27:7. I like this verse. I've only got two verses to go over here. Says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." We could just sit and meditate on that, couldn't we? To the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Boy, isn't that true? You know, here's a real practical example. You go to a restaurant. You go large. You go that 24-ounce porterhouse. You eat, you know, you're gnawing on the bone. You eat so much and you're stuffed. You're just so full. You know, and before that, there's peanuts. And they bring you like a full loaf of bread and butter, and you're drinking four Cokes. Now, I can't eat that much, but that's what I like at those places. They're just like, here's peanuts, here's some bread, you know, and then here's your salad before your meal. It's like, my God, how much food do you think people eat in a single sitting? And now here's your steak, and then they come up to you. Would you like any dessert? And your soul loathes the thought. You know, it's just like, no. No. The thought of putting a hot brownie with an ice cream scoop into my body is repulsive to me right now. If I was hungry, that'd be glorious, right? But because I'm full of something else, that doesn't appeal to me. Is it sweet? I mean, that warm brownie with that ice cream, and then they put the chocolate on top. It's incredible. Isn't it, Kay? Come on. It's incredible. How could you ever say no to that? You know what I mean? A hungry person would just be like, how could you ever turn this down? But if you're full of something else, it's kind of repulsive. You know, if you're full of the world, the things of the cross, and when I say full, I mean you fed on them to the point where you're kind of satisfied by it. Not your spirit, of course, but your soul. You know, this world will give you momentary satisfaction. You know that? I mean, that's what the whole unsaved world is seeking and chasing after, the momentary satisfactions of life. You know, some people live for their next little physical meal. Live for the weekend. Live for your paycheck. All of it, you know. Human relationships, having the highest place. You know, there is a momentary satisfaction in those things. And those satisfactions have their place in the Lord. But when they replace the Lord, they become sin. When they take a place in your heart that is meant for the Lord only, now it's a perversion of what God intended that to be. It's okay to be satisfied with a meal, right? You know, but if you live to eat and you're not feeding on the Lord, then food has a wrong place. You know, that can happen. It's people all, I mean, come to America and look at all the restaurants we have and tell me that's not an issue. My gosh. It's unreal. Of course, that can apply to a million different things. The full soul loathes and honeycomb. If you're filling up on something else, you are in the wrong way, right? You're hurting your appetite for the Lord. Okay? Now, that's something between you and the Holy Spirit. I can't define that for anyone's individual life. Like, Faf, are you sure, you know, you want to have a cup of hot chocolate tonight? Because, you know, I'm not talking about dissecting your life and getting weird about it. You know what I mean? But there's a walk with the Holy Spirit where you know, and in your heart, you're getting beyond what's, you know, where you're seeking comfort and peace and satisfaction from something other than the Lord. And when you start doing that, it can be a tension from other people, you know. So many people in our society, especially at a young age, we thirst and desire attention from the opposite sex. You know, they just need it, feed off of it. You know, it's a constant. It was the only reason I went to high school. It's the only reason I showed up Monday through Friday. You know, but it, you know, you're hurting, quenching your hunger for the Lord. Have you ever, you know, if you've ever fasted or you've ever gone on a diet or something and you don't eat as much as you normally do, you know, your appetite shrinks quickly. For me, it happens, honestly. It shrinks quickly. And that happens spiritually, too. Our appetite for the Lord can shrink very quickly. Same way, it goes the other way, too. When I go home to visit my parents, it's just constant food. What are we doing for, you know, breakfast? You want me to cook a pound of bacon? Some eggs? Yes, I do. You know, and then there's lunch, and then dinner, and then, you know, my parents like to entertain. And I oblige them. Right? You know, because that food's free. And when I go home from visiting my parents, my appetite is enlarged. You know, I go home and it's just like cookies. I need bacon. You know, I'm much more hungry. My appetite, stomach got stretched out. What's like that in the Lord? And sometimes, you know, did you ever eat for somebody just to be polite? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, okay, I'm gonna eat. You made yourself eat. You know, sometimes we have to just take our soul and we just say, we're getting in the Word right now. I've been feeling lean in my spirit. I haven't been hungry like I like to be, like I was. I want that back with the Lord. I'm going to get it back. Right. You get it. Don't just sit around and wait for God to zap you with his hunger wand. You know what I mean? I mean, he can stir your spirit, so I'm not saying he can't. And it's okay to pray and say, Lord, fill me with your hunger, Lord. I want. It's okay to pray that. But by God, open your Bible. Get on your knees. Set aside time. Turn off Netflix. You know what I mean? Turn off the video. Whatever it is. Whatever the hobby is, whatever. Cut time somewhere and just show the Lord you're serious. Let me hear your voice, Lord. I want to see you, Lord. This is important to me. I want the hunger back. And don't wait for your feelings to line up. Don't wait. Don't wait to feel hungry in those times. You're not going to. Amen. You know, don't wait for the feeling to come. Create the feeling. Create it. And it is like that. Didn't Randy talk about the snowball thing or somebody?
Yes.
Hunger in the Lord is the same way. It has a snowball effect. You know, but a lot of times with that snowball, it's not just like a steep drop. It's like you got to push that thing and it gets bigger and bigger quick. Okay. Yeah. What's the other side of this verse? But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know, hunger for the Lord changes the way you see things, circumstances in your life. When you're hungry for the Lord, you see bitter things in a different light. It helps you see the cross, right? It helps you recognize it when it's coming. You know what I mean? There's a hunger there that says, I want to know the Lord in this. Amen. This is hard, but man, Jesus, I want, this is what I've been reading about. This is what I've been filling up on. And so, this is what Randy's been sharing about. Here it is. Now's the time. Yes, now I get to live this. Now I get to be with the Lord in this. The hunger defines the situation. Whereas when you're not hungry for the Lord and you're filling your soul up, well, those kind of circumstances, they don't feed your soul. So if feeding your soul and your flesh is kind of the mode you've been in, then when the cross comes, it's way more offensive. And you don't see it as a cross. You see it as, this sucks. I don't like this. I want to get away from it. I need to This isn't gratifying my soul. This isn't the mode of life that I've been used to. You don't see it as the Lord. You see it as an offense. You don't see the hand of God in it. And hunger often plays a big part in how you see these things. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I spent a year at a place, my 10th grade year, when I was 16 and 17. And, I didn't have access to food. I couldn't choose what I ate, right? And the quality of food was very low. But you still get hungry, especially as a teenage boy. And I remember being hungry for things that I never would have eaten in the civilian world. You know what I mean? I remember once literally eating a slice of eggplant, which was the main course. You ever heard of that? They shaved an eggplant and you got that slice. And I ate that sucker. I was hungry. You know what I mean? I ate that thing. They used to get burnt pizza donated from Pizza Hut. And they would literally, like, take a tub of burnt slices of rejected pizza and dump it out on the table. And, I mean, some of these were just like, you know, it'd be like, you could just, like, and this color. Hard, and I'm not exaggerating, burnt. And dude, when we saw that, we were just like, pizza, pizza for dinner. And we just be, yeah. Where normal people would loathe that. Imagine if we dumped that out. Just imagine if Scott was like, dinner. Hey. Kelly'd be like, I'm Scott. I'm talking. I really don't feel like it's the Lord to feed this to the people. Okay, gang, we're going to go out to eat. Yeah. Again, I'm just trying to use practical examples, so I'm not preachy and all doctrinal here, you know. But the point translates to spiritually. It really does, right? All right, let's look at 1 Peter 2:2. How long have I been going? Oh, good.
Like half an hour.
Okay, good. I don't want to go long. Because I really don't have any more of a point than I've already made. I just want to reinforce it. Yeah, did I say it yet? 1 Peter 2? 2? 2-2, yeah. Actually, let's turn to 3 John. I'm just kidding. I went there last night and I was like, I haven't read this in forever. Wouldn't it be cool, Lord, if you gave me something out of 3 John? Right. Let's see. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Okay. Before we get to verse 2, desiring the sincere milk of the as newborn babes, which you see, he's trying to bring in a practical picture of hunger. You know what I mean? Because maybe at that time, yet there wasn't people starving to death, but they knew hunger in the face of little babies screaming when they didn't get fed on time. You know what I mean? So to them and to us, it's a picture of extreme hunger. I mean, it really is, you know. When babies are hungry, it is panic mode, freak out, feed me now. You know, everyone else's life is stopping until that baby gets fed. And when you have two of them doing it, you're going to lose your mind. Debbie knows. She was there. But before you get to that, what do you have? Students? What do you have to do before you get there? It's in your... Thank you. Wherefore, before you get to verse 2, There's a laying aside, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That means there's a sacrifice to something.
Jesus.
To something. You know, it's like you look at your life and you're like, something's going to go so that I fill up with the Lord and the Word. See, the principle's there. Laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And you know, in verse 1, I want you to write your, you know, I'm not saying do this specifically, but you could. You could personally write your own things that you need to lay aside. Right? Wherefore, I'm going to lay aside all, make your list. You know what I'm saying? you know, I'm not going to put that on you in some kind of legalistic way and try to force you out of bed to go to church, you know. But let the Holy Spirit search your heart. You know, you might know right off the bat of those things. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now let's look. I want to read down to 11. Okay, let's just read it. And we want to keep in mind what comes after this hunger. What comes after this feeding? And you could almost say, what's at stake? Okay. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And to the hungry, even bitter things are sweet, right? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, and the same is made the head of the corner. Even the sweet things are repulsive, right? What does it say? There it is. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Do you see how that all fits together? Right? That it's written. Look at it like a sandwich. He says, lay it aside. Desire the word. Here's your calling. Here's what you are. Here's what you are in Christ. Here's what you've been made. There's a possibility for you to get offended with this, just like the people who were offended with Christ. You know what I mean? He's either precious or he's an offense to you. And again, at the end, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, you're not of this earth. You're not of this world. So don't be of it. Don't feed your soul with the same things that the world does. Abstain from fleshly lusts. They war against your soul. They war against your hunger for the Lord. They war against the realization of what God wants to do in your life. They war against what you hold precious. They war literally against the things you've prayed for God to do in you. You know, you can pray the right thing, but then if you go out and you feed your soul, what does that communicate to God? Mm-hmm. God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your life. And then I go feed my soul. It's like, well, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, and, you know, there's grace for our mistakes, you know, and mercy, and that you can always return to the Lord. Absolutely. You know, so I'm not trying to condemn anything, but return to the Lord. Come to the Lord. If you're already there right now, put this sharing in your pocket for when you go through, you know, a dry time, a hard time. You know, sometimes life really does get insanely busy. You know what I mean? And call it to when your mind starts telling you, I don't have time. See, in Bible school, for me, it was even, you know, few years after I graduated, it was just such an intense time of soaking in the Lord. Constant classes, you know, fellowshipping and then sharing. You love it, you know what I mean? And it's good. And it was, you know, for me personally, that it was the season of God for that, you know. So soak it up and take it in as much as possible. You know, life circumstances change, and they will for all of you in some form or another at some point. And when your mind begins to tell you, I just don't have time like I used to, it's no, that's not what's going on here. You know what I mean? I got 5 minutes. You know what I mean? That God honors that. I mean, man, you know, I've sat down and worked for 4 straight hours and just done nothing but read, which is great. You know, I got no problem with that, but see nothing. I've also opened my Bible randomly, and the first verse I saw in the first 3 seconds has just exploded. You know what I mean? It's like God doesn't need 15 hours a day. And I'm not discouraging that. If you're hungry in the Lord and you got the time, man, do it. Just do it. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're not seeing anything, man, set a buffet for the Holy Spirit to come. You know, get familiar with the Scriptures. Learn the Word of God. Please understand, I'm not, you know. But when you get in seasons of life where you only have 5 minutes, praise God. Take it expectantly. And even if you don't see something, go to something that you know you can chew on and feed on and meditate on and just take with you. Amen. That's the main, pretty much everything I just want to share and speak to you in your guys' lives. And, you know, again, I'm not coming from a place of superiority or judging you saying you're not hungry. I'm kind of a realist when it comes to things, and, you know, we're human. You know what I mean? We get distracted by cars pulling in outside. we get distracted easily. You know, we have pulls, we have things that come into our lives that draw our attention. You know, I get it, so there's no judgment, there's an understanding. Fight for that hunger. Amen. Create that hunger. Understand the importance of it and how vastly it affects everything else in your life. You know, love you guys. Love getting to share with you and hang out with you. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, the only reason we hunger for you at all is because your Spirit's in us. It's a result of you in our lives. And Father, if you weren't, we wouldn't seek after you at all. We wouldn't care about anything but ourselves. If you weren't at work. So God, we trust and we believe and we know that that you are ultimately the source of our hunger and desire for you, that you've put it in us to even want it. And Lord, we want to just take advantage of that and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want you. We want to feed on you, Jesus. Just for today, Father, we just set our hearts today in the sharing of the word. Even as we go out, Lord, we just want to be fellowshipping and walking with your Spirit, Father, and just the light, cordial, friendly conversations that we have, oh, Lord, let our hearts be crying out to you in the background of it all. Let there just be a song just lifted up in our heart that just sings, Jesus, we hunger for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We want you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We desire you, Lord. We desire you more. Lord Jesus, it's never enough. It's never going to be enough. And we rejoice in that, Lord. We rejoice in that, Father. And just pray your Holy Spirit, just bring these encouragements to mind as As time goes on and seasons change in all of our lives, and the enemy would like to distract and discourage and cause us to, in the name of busyness, feel like we don't have time for the Lord, bring these things to our remembrance, these encouragements, these simple principles, simple tools that can cause us to get the snowball rolling down the hill and getting the momentum going again for you, Lord. For you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We just commit this day and our hearts to you, Lord. In your precious name, Father, we pray. Amen.